Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, what's up, everyone? Hanging out with another legendary old WWF superstar, Bushwhacker Luke, man. How are you?
Whoa, g'day, mate. Thanks for having me right here on the loud spot.
That's damn right, man.
We're going to be loud. We're going to be roaring. We're going to be howling. Because you know why? Because we're in the loud spot.
Damn right we are. I got a question I've wanted to ask you. I never thought I'd get the question or have the opportunity to do it. There was a Royal Rumble. I don't remember what year it was. You come in the ring. You immediately get thrown out of the ring. Yeah. Were you not feeling good that day? Did you not want to wrestle? Were you like, I don't feel like doing this shit today? So what happened with that?
You know, we even talked about this when we went in the Hall of Fame. And Butch says, Butch was out there for about 20 minutes before I came out, and he was out another 5 minutes after me. The worst part, he's pissed off about, he got the same pay. I got the same pay as he did. And that he was hotter. Anyhow, that's the situation. I marched out, got up on the apron, earthquake, took me over the other side of the ring, threw me out, I landed on my feet, and I kept on marching. Now, Vince played that from 92 right up to 218, pre-Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
So advertising for it. And 218, he stopped. I'm mad about that.
You're no longer part of
that. People remember that spot, and they hire me. Sometimes they hire me and ask me, can we do the Royal Rumble spot?
Do you ever go back in the ring at your age now? Do you ever have fun and mess around at all or no?
Yes. Yeah, I was in the ring last weekend in Indiana. And I'm still in the ring. In the Wikipedia, I'm second oldest in the world, still performing in the ring.
Wow. How did you start? So you're from New Zealand originally, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then the man who's got a smile on their face is 100 million sheep.
So you started wrestling there, then did you start off immediately in WWF? I guess
No.
You had a whole career before then, huh?
Yeah, I started in 1962. Uh-huh. And then Butch started in 66, and we teamed up the same year. He came to the promotion with me in 66. We teamed up, and we started going into Asia first, Asia, Malaya,
uh-huh.
and then up north of Singapore. Up north into Bangkok from Singapore. And then we went to Japan, and we said in 1972, we hear America is the place for pro wrestling. Because all the magazines,
yeah.
We never even had, when I was in New Zealand, we didn't even have TV. When I was first started wrestling TV, we didn't get TV till near 70.
Wow.
1970. And that, so there's no wrestling. I'd never seen a wrestling match.
Wow, man. And then you go pro.
Yeah, that. And then one night, someone didn't arrive. My second ever wrestling show I ever went to. One of the guys never arrived. Next minute, a pair of boots and a tank top was thrown at me. They told me I was in the ring.
That's right.
What the bloody hell? Now, mate, I know I've been hit over the head with a lot of chairs in my lifetime. But I don't remember that match. and that was my first ever match.
What was your favorite wrestling match you've ever? I mean, because the Royal Rumble is always fun and things like that. Do you have a personal favorite match that you remember?
I can tell you one favorite match in the Wilmington Wembley Stadium's the old Wembley Stadium before it was pulled down. We did the last show there. I think it was in 92-93. And, you know, it held something like 104,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it was full. And, you know, to fill a stadium up that far, it takes 2.5 hours.
Right.
You know, to fill that. And we were the first match of the night. So the people were dying to break loose. It was a six-man tag. Jim Duggan butchered me against the Nasty Boys in the Mountie.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, right?
Mate, we didn't even touch each other for 10 minutes. The crowd was screaming. We didn't have to touch each other. They were on fire.
That makes it fun, isn't it, when the energy's going and everyone's all loud? And...
Right. In music especially.
Oh, you know what I mean?
When the energy builds up.
Yeah. Was there a time when you were like, you weren't really in the mood to go out and perform, but then your music starts playing and once that starts to kind of get amped up, you got to give yourself the energy, right?
There was a lot of times, mate. A lot of times that I stayed up too late the night before.
How the hell am I doing this today?
As soon as I walk through that curtains, your whole body turns on.
Yep, that's right. It's like an alter ego, right?
Yep, that's why it is. I hear that music. The blood starts running, starts pumping.
Has there ever been a time you accidentally hurt someone or you accidentally been hurt more than you should have been? And then the other guy's like, lets you know maybe they're hurt. Does that happen sometimes?
No. I have had concussion from chairs.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of concussion from chairs and that. And I've whiplashed from the back. I've hit the bottom rope with the back of my head and I took a bump and it's a whiplash. And I passed out for a small time. But these are not through the other guy. You know, that was bad positioning, the whiplash.
Right.
Things like that. But apart from that, I've been good. I've never had to sort of fight with anyone in the ring, you know, to take control.
So no more throwing chairs at your head, huh? Those days are done.
The sheet-burning days are done, mate. And this was the area where we did... All Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and down south, the states beside here. Mm-hmm. We worked all this area, right from New Orleans right up to Kansas City, and that for a company called Mid-South Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was owned by a guy that was either in Tulsa or here.
Two questions is, one is favorite person to wrestle, and number two, do you recall a specific sign throughout your whole career that you've seen? So favorite person to wrestle and a sign that you might have thought was really, that just stands out in your head from the audience member.
Well, my favorite piece to wrestle, there's a lot of them, mate. Ones that we had, you know, 5-star matches in big houses where the people are magic. And a lot of those were before we become the Bushwhackers, when we were the bad guys, the sheep herders. We got a lot of, you know, high-star matches there. And that we had a lot of heat. Now, here's the thing, too. Another question I just wanted to bring up before. I know The Rock's grandfather, Butcher Me, used to wrestle in New Zealand and Australia in the 60s. That's the grandfather, Chief Peter Marvia. And then his father, Rocky Johnson, we wrestled him in Australia, New Zealand, US, and Canada. That is his father.
I didn't even know that his family wasn't wrestling. I didn't know that, yeah.
There was a long, you know, yeah, Rocky married Samoan woman, and that is... And that Samoan's woman's dad was High Chief Peter Marvia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that guy, he was filling up Madison Square Gardens in the 50s and 60s.
Wow.
That goes back there. And then, so The Rock's third generation, Dwayne.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah. Have you never wrestled with him, though, right? Because he came on afterwards.
No, I, he, he, his dad had a home in his granddad had a home in New Zealand.
I say you challenge The Rock to a match. Yeah, right now.
Yeah, The Rock bubbles against the batting ram. No, I know that. I seen the kid when he was 7 years old, mate. Dwayne Seven.
That's cool. Yeah,
and when I was working for his dad, he was around, but he was young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, but look at him now.
Yeah, I know, right?
How high can you go up the ladder?
And last question is what I said earlier. Do you recall a specific sign ever that you thought was funny? Or because when you're wrestling, do you even look into the audience? Can you even see the audience? All the lights on you? Yes. Can you see the signs?
Yeah, I can see the signs and the advertising at the back.
Is there one that says something funny that you just remember? Or no, there's so many of them.
There's been so many stuff like that. And guys putting signs, writing signs on their chest. We came over as a New Zealand Kiwis. And we were working against an Indian tag team. Uh-huh. And when Indians paint themselves up, they would put a foot here and a foot there, and underneath it would have drop kick. Just as a joke. You know?
Right.
They'd make those fucking Indian war things into jokes on themselves. Crazy guys.
That's fun. Well, man, I appreciate you, mate. I appreciate you. Can we get one of the old school.
All the fans out there for a loud spot. This is Bushwhacker saying, whoa, yay.
There we go. All right. That's all time we got.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it. Perfect. All right. We are here with wrestling legend Brutus the Barber Beefcake. How you doing?
Very good, brother. Very good. We're having a good time.
How often do you come here to Oklahoma? Probably not very often, huh?
Well, the old days, back in the 80s, used to be here all the time.
Yeah?
The territories are no longer, and so you just don't make it out here too much.
So a question I got to ask you is, when you're wrestling, when you were there during your high days in WWF, was there ever a sign that you saw from the crowd that you still remember today? Because there's all kinds of signs, right? Or do you not pay attention to them at all?
There's always a lot of Brutus signs. So, I mean, I've seen everything you can imagine, along with people making giant big scissors.
Yeah.
And carrying those in, you know, out of cardboard or this or that. So I've pretty much seen it all, brother. That's been around the block a few times.
Was there a specific wrestler that you enjoyed wrestling with the most? Or you guys had good energy that you would feed off each other?
Yeah, Perfect. Mr. Perfect.
Oh, Mr. Perfect, yeah. Yeah, that was. I remember him from a long time ago.
Super nice guy. Knew his family, his wife, kids, his dad. Great family. It's a shame. Shame he's not here with us right now.
Yeah. When you were doing if you would get tired in the ring, you get exhausted, and the crowd would go crazy. Does that really give you an extra burst of energy?
Or, yeah, because I was in shape, man. I never got tired.
No.
Never.
Are you allowed to get tired? Because you remember back in the day, you'd see like Hulk Hogan would do his whole thing where he'd get all amped up and he's sweating there and maybe even bleeding a little bit.
Warrior used to run out there.
Yeah.
Shaking, shake the ropes, run back and forth, and that was it. He was done. He couldn't breathe. He was...
What was your favorite wrestling event from the Royal Rumbles to the Summer Slams they used to do? Do you have one that was kind of your favorite? Did they do Monday Night Raw back then?
Later.
Later on?
Yeah, a little later.
What was your favorite event to do?
I was on the first Raw.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
What was your favorite event, pay-per-view event?
Well, our WrestleManias, the early WrestleManias were all fantastic. And so I did all those. And then Survivor Series here, there. But the SummerSlam 89, where I wrestled with... Macho Man and Zeus and Sherry, yeah. Hulk is my partner. Yeah, we did two pay-per-views with Zeus, and everything came off fantastic. Everything worked out great, and I couldn't have been better.
Last question: how many pair of scissors do you have? Is there just one you carry around with you, or is there a bunch of them that you have to carry to different events?
I have several. I've been carrying around for many years. Sometimes I'll tuck some away for a while.
Going through an airport.
Use another one.
You're going through an airport. Oh, yeah. What do they say when you go through an airport with those scissors?
Keep them sharp. No, you don't take them in the airport. You take them in your check bag.
Okay, you take them in your check bag. And last question, could you ever give me a haircut?
Sure.
All right. Let's do a straight razor on it, right? Just take the scissors and just shave it right off.
Take the head.
Well, I appreciate your time coming here and doing the short interview with me. Enjoy your time in Oklahoma. God bless, man. All right. Now I'm hanging out with Mr. Jamil Holloway, former OU legendary quarterback, right?
Yes.
From what year is 1984?
1985 to 1988.
And you led the Sooners to a championship.
The first true freshman to lead their team to a national championship.
Do you still remember what that felt like? Is that, thinking back on it, do you still feel the same, like, just energy and pridefulness and happiness that you're able to do that to the team?
After 37 years.
God, don't remind us. I'm getting old.
32 or 37.
Yeah.
Whichever one's 85. Back then, not even knowing and not even understanding what I understand now.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that I'm part of history.
Yeah.
And to know that I was the first.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool and special, because we can always still bring it up.
How often do you go back to the OU campus? Do you go there often and say hi to the newer, like the freshmen that are still learning?
I got a couple of young friends back there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Number 56, Murray.
Okay.
94, Poe. No, Cole. No, Poe.
Let's call him Poco.
No. No, I don't want to get it. Isaiah.
Okay.
Isaiah, my buddy. My buddy.
Okay.
And then there's a couple of incoming freshmen that are from California.
Okay.
That me and my buddies my age, that's their kids now.
Wow.
So I'm getting a chance to meet them and help them, you know, get a little acclimated to Oklahoma.
Does it feel a little surreal sometimes seeing your buddies' kids now playing football?
Yeah, because I don't really follow a team.
Right.
I'll follow the individuals where they go.
Is that common, you think, with a lot of people that went pro? They follow individuals instead of teams? Because a lot of pros go get transferred from team to team to team. Right, so you don't really have a favorite, that's pretty common.
I think in the pros it is
okay,
but not in college, because we all gonna rep whatever school we went to,
right?
You know, and if your buddy went to USC, whoever they playing that day, we gonna rep them,
but right?
We ain't trying to hear about USC,
right? You know, well, you went and played pro for a couple years, right?
Yeah, I played 1 year with the Raiders, 2 years in Canada, then 3 years over in Barcelona. It was a fun experience. I got to see the world. I come back to Oklahoma and had some kids, and I'm okay now.
What made you decide to come back to Oklahoma? Was it the college career that you had, or just you found Oklahoma home? Are you from Oklahoma originally?
No, I'm from California.
That's what I thought.
I'm
so
from California.
What brought you back to Oklahoma after leaving?
I came back for a golf tournament with my buddy Brian Van, who used to play at OU.
Okay.
And we came back for a fundraiser. And next thing I know, I went over. We were at a little bar on 63rd in May.
Oh, here in Oklahoma City.
Called the Outfield. It used
okay.
to be called the Outfield.
Yeah, yeah.
All track betting. And the bartender was very... very good, tell me, with them Long Island teas way back then. And so here it is, full circle, 25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that same bartender is my wife.
Wow, man.
And so that's the only reason why I'm still here.
Yeah.
But
they'll do that to you, man.
They'll make you stay somewhere. Yeah. You know, with me or somebody else, but I'm glad I'm with her. But it's been memorable. Some kids out of it, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And you currently help youth football players, right? Do you volunteer your time at a school, or what are you doing for the I guess the junior leagues, would you say?
The youth football leagues. You know what? I just try to give them, educate them, and tell them the little bitty things.
You don't get hurt.
Yeah, right. Go hard, play hard, respect the other opponent. Don't help him up when he's on the ground, because that's taking away from your strength. But go hard and play the right way and play with an attitude and an edge.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to.
In this day and age, you have to. But even more so, have fun.
Yeah, man. Like, your ring looks like it's fun.
You know what?
What is that? Is that the championship ring?
No, this ain't a championship ring. This is just a little ring. A little ring I got from helping some kids out. We donated like 1,000 bikes during Christmas time.
That's awesome.
And they gave us these rings. And so it's just a ring, but it means a whole lot, because I know what I put into it to give back to the communities around Oklahoma.
Last question. How often do you go to Sooner games?
Every chance I get.
Mm-hmm. Does everyone recognize you still when you go to the games?
Yeah, because you know what? I'm usually down there. I usually have this jersey on, so they got to recognize
me. Right.
Or they think that, he's an old guy, or he's a young one. But I go down, and especially now since we got the new coach, we got Venerables, love Venerables. OU's going to do it again. Our defense is going to rise to the occasion, and hopefully
they always do.
Defense is way more far advanced than offense. So Sooner Nation, give our kids an opportunity. Give the quarterback a chance. Let's not boo him when he starts messing up, because he's going to mess up because he's new.
Yeah.
He has to get accustomed.
Because high school and college is – and then you go from college to pro, is even more different, right? So
and even more so, there's a big difference between University of Central Florida and the great University of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
That the pressure that I don't want to say pressure that he has, but the pressure that the quarterback has this year,
mm-hmm.
nobody's an All-American. So it makes it really, to me, good for the team, because nobody's that one prominent player. So we're going to see who's going to step up and be that man.
Right.
And hopefully it's going to be the quarterback.
It's exciting to watch.
You know, I can't wait, especially when we go back and play Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to love that.
Dude, I'm not even going to lie. I did not like college football until I moved to Oklahoma. Because I'm in California, I was a Niners fan and a Raiders fan. I'm from the Bay Area, okay? So I'm from the Bay Area. I came to Oklahoma, and everyone's college. I said, man, who the fuck watches college football? Apparently, a lot of people watch college football, like everyone in Oklahoma.
Well, since you say you're from the Bay, I'm sorry. Because, I mean, I'm from Southern Cal.
Right.
And you're from Northern.
But, and you played for the Raiders when they were the Los Angeles Raiders.
Just a practice squad.
Okay.
But y'all had Cal Berkeley. You know, y'all had Stanford. The only thing we know about Cal Berkeley and Stanford is the marching band and them spiking the ball and flea flicker all
that's
over the
probably
field.
Why I didn't watch football. That's probably why I didn't watch football.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Thank you. All right. Hey, see, look at that. He got balls. He got look two at that. Good. Great. Hey, easy.
We got people over here talking to him.
So my wife ran into you last week at Walgreens. You did a 5x7 for my son. He never got to meet you, so I just want to say thank you, my man.
All right, well,
can we come over here and say what's up?
Let's get
a fan over here saying what's up. We're about to end this podcast.
I'm a professional wrestler. Yeah, I wrestle for Detroit Narrative.
All right, let's get you on tomorrow.
All right, let's do it, man.
All right. Jamil, I'm gonna let you get back to it, man. I know you got a busy day. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast. We'll talk to you soon too.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you.
This is the Loud Spot outro by Nothing Short of Tragic.
Is this all talk with no action?
No.
Is this my thoughts with distraction?
No.
Is this what I bought that's in fashion? Or is this the Loud Spot with Sebastian?
Yes.
Does Nothing Short of Tragic have his back again?
Yes.
Does everything that's good really have to end?
Yes.
Our pimp host has to pimp show, so to get more episodes, make an order, this is over.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.